as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Christ Ministries family, and good morning to my Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. I thank you for joining us this morning for this Bible school lesson. My name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I will be teaching you the book of Colossians for the next few weeks. I have found another way that the scripture tells me to pray for Christians, for other believers. So if this prayer might sound familiar, or it might sound like the one I did last week, I found this prayer in the book of Colossians. So I open with this prayer since I'm doing the book of Colossians. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together again to uplift you in song and praise, or for our faith which changed our lives. We ask for you to help us to know your will. We ask for spiritual wisdom and understanding. We ask for the strength for endurance and patience. We ask to be filled with joy and thankfulness. Let us reflect in ourselves what you reveal to us through Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Last week, I left off stating that the prayer I just used is how we should pray for other Christians. We also talked about reconciliation and the meaning, and it means to restore to right relationship or standard. So Christ's death was a way for all people to be reconciled back to God. It cleared away the sin that keeps us from having a right relationship with our Creator. 21, and it says, this includes you who were once far away from God, you who were enemies separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. This verse states that we were separated, estranged even, from God. Just like the Colossians, reconciliation is already a fact even before conversion, even as we, hostile-minded and participating in evil sin, we can be reconciled, brought into a relationship with God. No one is capable of saving themselves. Romans 7:4 states, so my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point where you died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. How do we die with Christ and now is raised? Someone accepts Christ or becomes a Christian. Our old rebellious nature died with Christ. Christ's resurrection guaranteed our new and now eternal life with him later, which is given through the Holy Spirit. It is not by Christ's life, but by death, the death of his human flesh, meaning that Jesus effected reconciliation by dying on the cross in a real human body, flesh, not spiritual. Sin separated us from God. Since Jesus was fully man and fully God, he experienced rejection, temptation, hunger, abuse, and he knows how we feel, but he also is an advocate who reconciles sinners back to God through his blood. Even though none of us are perfect, we want to show maturity. Paul is trying to say that the created world should continue in faith and stand grounded and putting our confidence in Jesus alone to forgive our sins and to make us right with God. In the footnotes, he uses the word acquitted. Legally, it means that your charges no longer exist. When God forgives us our sins, our record has been wiped clean. Amen? Let's move down to verses 24 through 27. I am glad when I suffer. This is Paul talking. I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept a secret for centuries and generations past, but it has now been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Now, like I said, Paul's talking to this audience of Jews and Gentiles because he wanted them to know that we also were included in the inheritance that comes with knowing Christ. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. Okay, so don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord about me, his prisoner, but with me, take your share of suffering for the gospel. Continue to preach regardless of the circumstances in accordance with the power of God. Layman terms, sharing the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. I have become a servant by God's commission to present to you the word in its fullness. You know, Paul never stopped reassuring people that he was sent by God. He every city he spoke to, he reassured them that he's coming because he was sent by God. Paul always wanted the believers to know he was sent by God, and he wanted them to be filled with that, what was necessary for their spiritual development that included suffering. Paul goes on to talk about the secret or the mystery that Christ dwells in all believers. This was spoken to Gentiles so they could know of their inheritance. And he promised, and his promises through the gospel. Paul did this because he knew that all believers are not at the same level of spiritual growth. He was trying to strive with God's strength, spiritual development. And you can read that in Ephesians 3, 9 through 11. Okay, moving on to verses 28, 29, it says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone. With all the wisdom God has given us, we want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Once again, sometimes we see a word and we figure it's used in the same context. In the verses, this word perfect means mature or not flawless. This message is for everyone, all of us. We proclaim him, warning and instructing everyone in all his wisdom pertaining to the word and the purposes of God, that we may bring every man to his full maturity in Christ. We must work like athletes, using the power of God's Spirit so we can grow daily motivated by love. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to Colossians 2, it says, "I want you to know how much I've agonized for you and for the church, the Laodicea, and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understood God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Once again, Paul's reaching out to another group of believers in Laodicea who never met him face to face. He approaches them with a brotherly love, the highest form of love. He continues to pray for them despite never ministering to them himself. He was agonized, meaning he would suffer great mental pain because he wanted them to understand the fullness of the gospel. In Christ is found the secret to truth and to knowledge and to life. For the reason we want to perceive the truth so that we may have wisdom. Knowledge is to understand the truth. Wisdom is the application of truth to your life. Christians should not be deceived by convincing arguments. If a man is preaching the truth, he does not need to depend on clever arguments. The truth is his own best argument. Paul is letting the believers know, even though I am not with you in person, I am with you in spirit, and I am happy to see how well disciplined you are, standing strong in your faith and truth to the word of God. Amen. We're going on to read Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. It says, "And now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Here, Paul encourages them to continue to grow in faith, to walk in union, reflecting his characteristics by living lives that lead others away from sin. Continue to become more established in your faith and overflowing in it with gratitude. Arthur Way translates verse 7. He says, be like trees, fast rooted, like buildings, steady rising, feeling his presence around, even unshaken in your own faith and overflowing with. Make sure that you don't get caught up I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Slow down now. I'm at verse 8 now. Verse 8 says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. So it says, make sure that you don't get caught up in genuine intellectual traditions and reflection of thought of man, following man instead of Christ. We are supposed to be caught up in Christ because the entire essence of God dwells in him. So when you in Christ, you don't need to seek anything else. Christ alone holds the true meaning to life. He is life. No Christian needs more than what Christ has already provided us to be saved. Let us move on to verses 11 and 12. It says, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ, and then you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. In this verse, we have the word circumcised. In the text, it is understood to mean the cutting away of your sinful nature. As well as we knew, the Jews' covenant with God. With the death of Christ, circumcision is no longer necessary. In him, we are all circumcised with circumcision not made by hand, but by spiritual circumcision. In the stripping off of the body of the flesh, also known as our sinful nature. God moves the old nature by giving us a new nature. Paul now turns from the subject of circumcision to that of baptism. Just as circumcision speaks of death to the flesh, even so, baptism speaks of burial of the old person. Baptism resembles the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and it also represents the death and burial of our sinful nature, allowing us to be resurrected with a new life in Christ. It says, you were dead because of your sin and because of your sinful nature. It says you were dead because of your sinful nature and not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record and the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them in public by his victory over them on the cross. When we were dead in our sins, uncircumcised, living of the world and not of Christ, God made us alive with Christ, forgiving all our sins. Here Paul uses the word dead. Before they were spiritually dead toward God, not saying that they were spiritually dead, but having no motivation in the spirit toward God. Paul explains, Jesus paid our penalty. He died for our guilt and nailed our debt on the cross. So that through him, we might be made in the righteousness of God. By doing this, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, which makes us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Amen. Ushering us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, God has canceled our debt and sins, and it has been settled. Psalms 103:12 says, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Moving on, reading chapter 16. So don't let anyone publicly, don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink or not celebrating certain holidays or new moon ceremonies or Sabbath. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels saying they had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. They said he begins to explain to the Colossians that don't let anyone judge you regarding your diet or observing of a festival or new moon or Sabbath instead of outward observance. Christians should focus on faith in Christ alone. We should never criticize Christians for their traditions and ceremonies that may differ from ours. It is more important that we worship Christ. Your responsibility is to Christ. So Paul describes the Old Testament laws and holidays and festivals as shadows of reality that was to come. They only have symbolic value, but the substance belongs to Christ. It is impossible for the blood of animals to take away sin. God sent his son to make the perfect sacrifice once and for all. And that's stated in Galatians 4:4 and in Hebrews 10:10-14. So don't be deceived by any ritual. The shadow of the Old Testament was meant to point to Christ, the coming of a new life, a new way, a new day. So I come to you this morning, fellow listeners. I hope that from this lesson you got some meat, something you can chew on and carry out for you and pass on to somebody else. I thank you for the opportunity once again to break down God's almighty word so that we all can grow and learn together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every opportunity that you give me to dig into your word, to find out what it is that you want me to do, even finding different prayers, Father. As long as I've been a Christian, I didn't even see this before I had to do this lesson, but I'm grateful. Father, I just ask that you bless us, keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Deaconess Loretta. Knowledge and wisdom and truth of God's word and, you know, what he did for us, dying on the cross for us. You know, it's important for us to learn God's word and work for Christ, with some of the things that you brought up, old rituals and it's a new way and a new day to honor God.
Good lesson. That's Colossians. How many chapters?
All right. Well, like I said, it gives me pleasure to break down the word, because when I break it down like that, I'm also learning. I'm also spotting things in the word that I didn't see when I read the Bible. So it's a learning tool for me as well to be a teacher. Thank you for the opportunity.
We really, really appreciate you, and we thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
Okay. All right. We're going to continue on this and get your coffee, your tea, your crumpets. And after this selection, we will see you on the other side to start our morning worship service. And, you know, it is youth day today. So after this selection, we're going to see you on the other side. All right.
The very first thought on my mind. everybody. I'm Pastor O, and we just trying to get everything together here this morning, but we thank God for what we already have heard. I am so proud of Deaconess Loretta Welch and her, amen, excellent teaching. That book and that passage that she just went through is not an easy passage, not an easy book to teach, and Lord God Almighty, she's doing an excellent job, and we are getting everything that we need to get out of that. And like she said, I hope you got some of that meat, because that's that strong meat stuff. That's not the little stuff. That's the big old giant steak, the thick steak. Amen. You need a big old sharp knife to cut that. But, hey, you take that and you sit with that. You meditate on that all week and just let it sink in what she's talking about. God trying to prepare you to be able to use somebody else. Amen. Amen. So, amen. I don't know where we at right now, but where we at this morning.
Okay. Alexandria will be on in 1 second. I got IU coming on this morning, and she should be right there.
Okay, let me see if I can find her. Okay, I see a lot of numbers, but I don't see it. What numbers are we looking for?
3207.
Okay, I don't see no number.
Yeah. She should be showing up any second.
Okay.
They are so grateful and gracious. They really want to do this, you know, and they get excited. And
yeah, she just, okay. Well, there we are. Here we are. Okay, y'all. Okay, I see that. There we go. Okay, y'all take it away.
Okay. All right. All right. This is the day the Lord has made. You know, that was a beautiful song. And it just really made me excited and had me around here, you know, just dancing. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Amen. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. And, you know, today is Youth Day. And on the fourth and fifth Saturday of each month, we give our youth the opportunity to serve and participate in our morning worship service, you know, because the youth are our future, and we have to pass the torch and teach, okay? So we have this morning to help us do so with the scripture and prayer. We have our little queen, Alexandria Maynard.
Hello.
Are you with us? Hey, good morning. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Okay,
good morning. I am Alexandria Maynard, and I will be reading scripture from 1 John 2 to 28 to 29 and 3 to 1 and 10. It is titled Living as Children of God. And now, dear children, remain in my fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right and are God's children, see how very much your Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all the sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them, so they can't keep on sinning, because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love one another and love believers does not belong to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Now let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer up to you some much deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask you to fill your Holy Spirit with everyone who will take part of this in this worship service. We ask you to hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service, Lord. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and preach word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That was our little queen, Alexandria Maynard. We appreciate you and just thank you for opening up with the scripture and prayer today. Have a good day. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways into the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Oh, no.
Amen, amen. That oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and we want the Holy Spirit to continuously fill us to do this, to do that. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who've tuned in. And the Lord is trying to encourage us, y'all. It's a lot going on in the world today, and he had me to write a paper yesterday asking the question, Jesus, where are you? Amen. When we see all these things happening in the world, we tend to forget that Jesus already told us about this stuff. He said it's going to happen, and he told us how to respond to it. He said, when you see this stuff happening, rejoice. Now, that sounds crazy, don't it? Amen. Russia just attacked Ukraine, and I'm supposed to rejoice? You know, the Lord said, look, y'all, get this in your head. If you didn't read the paper I sent out yesterday, get this. If you don't, get nothing else. God's not trying to save this world. He's trying to save for himself a people out of this world. And that's where we come in. Amen. We need to live like God is real, large, and in charge. We need to live like Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we don't have nothing to worry about. Why? Because Jesus not sleeping in the boat. He all the way woke. Amen. Carrying us from earth to heaven. Not one animal, not one human being suffered as long as they were in the ark. We in the ark, y'all. Jesus, the ark. I'm just trying to tell you, he already got this stuff. If you're wondering about somebody who's going to come and fix this, listen. Check this out.
Don't need to worry.
Trouble will be over.
Come on. This song goes out to those who going through something right now. Don't know which way to turn. Yeah, sleepless nights, crying all night long.
Hey, man, can you even picture Jesus, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? You know they inspired the group Fire to make that song, right? They gave them every note, every word, all that melody. Can you imagine, you know, Jesus, that kind of music? See, we tend to get stuck wherever we came in and whatever we started listening to. You know how they say you become a product of your environment? And if that was our environment, we have trouble. I love Pastor Barlow. And he was the only pastor that God would allow me to speak to about running for Christ. All he wanted to know from me is, running for Christ, why are you not Baptist? And when I explained it to him, he accepted it, and he prayed the prophet's prayer for me, and we went on about that business. But a lot of us have trouble shifting. We think the world, whatever music that inspired us to love Jesus, that's the music the whole world needs to listen to forever. Amen. Could you imagine? If we were doing it like Peter and them did it on the day of Pentecost, they didn't have no organist, they didn't have no pianist, they didn't have no instruments. All they had was their voices. And if you read in the book of Acts, they used to get together, pray, fellowship, and sing songs. And now we got everything, but we refuse to let God save the next generation. God save them with the stuff you saved us with. Well, what worked for us won't work for them. And the Lord is completely and utterly ignoring us. Why? Because he's making songs like this.
here.
Come by here, Lord. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Which takes us to time to Pastor God, the only one who could meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own brother, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Afraid I don't know how, cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change, cause love. Many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. Love, through all the ups and downs, the joys and hurts. Love, for better. To know you, longing for your kiss,
for your kiss,
touch,
for your touch,
feel
for
your presence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Blog Talk Radio, it's time to go to prayer. And what I want you to do this morning is, whatever you're taking to God, leave it with him. And don't just leave it with him. Keep it in his hands. Because he's the only one who can answer every one of our prayers. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you, first of all, for this privilege to come to you as a collective body to tell you what is going on with us. Father, you already know what we're going through, but you tell us in your word to pray without ceasing and rejoice evermore. Father, even though we have some difficult things going on, we're still rejoicing. Even though we have some financial things going on, we're still rejoicing this morning. Even though we have some spiritual things going on this morning, Father, we're still rejoicing because you're the only one who can do anything about what we're going through if we give our request to you, Lord. You tell us in your word by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving to make our request known unto God. You said in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. Father, our land needs to be healed from all sin, but our land can't be healed from all sin until we start doing what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. Our land can't be healed until we start doing what Jeremiah 33:3 says. And it says this, call on me in the time of need, and I will answer thee, and I will tell you, great and mighty things that have not been done yet. Father, the reason why our land is so sick and full of sin is because we, the church, haven't woken up and done what you told us to do to help you heal our land. Father, you've called all of us to be a minister of the gospel in different ways, but we haven't done that. We've been, Father, the reason why we haven't seen miracles done here on this earth the way you want miracles to be done here on this earth is because we've been too comfortable sitting back and waiting on you to perform the miracles that you've given us to fulfill here on this earth. Father, you said in Psalm 46:1, you are our refuge and strength.
when we are in trouble, we shouldn't worry about what we're going through. We should go to you with all of our prayers and all of our worries, because you're the only one who can fix them, Father. You said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, you said, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. Father, we're worried about it. We have our minds on everything else but you. We don't have our mind on you all the time. We have our mind on you sometimes, Father. And Father, there is power in having our mind stayed on you. If we had our minds stayed on you, we would be all right when we are faced with what we are going through. See, Father, you told us in your word, in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, if we're going to pray, don't worry about anything. If we're going to worry about everything, don't pray about anything. Father, we worry more than we pray. We worry about this life more than we pray to you. Father, help us to pray about everything and not worry about anything. Father, we pray for our government leaders, Father. We pray that they understand that they need to do the will that you want them to do. We pray that they understand that they're doing the work that you called them to do. And Father, help them understand that you have more power over them than they have over themselves, Father. And let them be the leaders that you desire them to be. Let them lead this country the way that you desire them to lead the country. From our president to our governors to our senators, let them lead the country the way that you desire them to lead this country. Because you said in Matthew that all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. But Father, you chose us to be representatives of you here on earth, Father. And help us understand that we are not representative of anybody else but you and you alone. Father, we pray for the sick right now. Just give them the strength that they need to live this life. And let them keep working for you in your precious and holy name. I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. All right. You know, we are having such a great time this morning. I'm having a great time, and I hope you are too. And with more to come, I just like to thank the you. And, you know, I just want to ask Pastor permission to just, you know, because Pastor O, we're celebrating Black History Month, okay? It's Black History. And Pastor O spoke on Pastor Barlow. And you hear it time and time again, you mention, bring him up and mention him. And he was a staple in this community. And I just like to highlight his name today for Black History. That's okay, Pastor O. And for Black History, Pastor Joseph Benjamin Barlow, a great pastor. He was a great pastor of the Mount Zion Baptist Church. And he just made a difference in other people's lives, especially the youth. You know, he allowed the youth to shine, and he created a training ground for them at church to serve, preparing them for public speaking and all other kinds of educational opportunities. Just passing the torch. And so he has passed the torch, and we, when we mention Pastor Barlow, it's because, Reverend Barlow, because he left a legacy that we could follow and that we are proud of. And so passing the torch, now you can, Pastor O, that we are preparing our youth and paving the way for them at Runner for Christ Ministries to do the same thing. You know, this is a training ground for public speaking. You know, this is just a part of it to look at the big picture to come, okay? So make sure your youth is involved and that they have the opportunity to serve, okay? Make sure that they're involved, okay? This is just an opportunity for them to be able to do public speaking and not be afraid, okay? So we just lift Pastor Joseph Benjamin Barlow, a great pastor, and his memory, Black History, all right? Okay, so, you know, just thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. Icing on the cake. The best part. And guess what? Back in the saddle and doing well. And after the selection, the next voice you will hear and have the pleasure of hearing is our very own brother, Minister John McFaul. Prepare to receive Minister John McFaul coming his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. What with me? I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, he touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord, I'll commit to faithful men. Sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count of pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I'll keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you in power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated
evidence. The fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know you're heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord. Full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hands. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, my Running for Christ family and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. My name is Minister John Mack, and happy Black History Month to you. I like that song that just went out. I think they was quoting Isaiah in the book of Isaiah. Pastor, so when you play the songs, let us know the verses to follow up. Especially for our young people. They're listening to good gospel music, but they need to know the words come from the word of the Lord. All right. I'm coming to you live from Lincoln Park, Michigan. I want to say good morning to Pastor O and Miss Sheila and all our Running for Christ family. I thank you for the opportunity to come to you on this day in the name of Jesus Christ. For those that are wondering how I'm doing, making progress over here, leaving everything in God's hand and not putting it in my own. Because you know what happens when we do that? We have a tendency to mess it up. That's what I'm not here to do. All right, today we're going to, the message is about, it's always about Jesus, but I want to take a different spin on it today. Could you imagine hanging with Jesus for 3 years straight? What will he find out about you? And what would you find out about him? Is there, would it be a positive influence or a negative influence over your life? Disciples was a handful to deal with. They come from different backgrounds. They had different attitudes. Some had different jobs. And Jesus took 3 years of his life to train these guys, knowing they had problems. But he stood the test. That's critical. It makes me think about all the groups that we hang around with. Are they positive or negative? Do they help us draw close to God, or do they bring us from God? I can point out some. The basketball team, there's always 12 of us, maybe 13. The church group we hang around with. We love our brothers and sisters, but do they help us to draw close to God, or do they bring us from God? What makes you think? Jesus picked 12 disciples. We don't know why he picked 12. We can make all kind of reference to the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, 12 guys that he just saw on the street. Jesus' words was so profound, he went to Matthew and said, stop what you're doing and follow me. And they did. You know, what did Matthew see in Jesus that made him want to walk away from his job? You could say he was a tax collector, that he had enough money to walk away. We don't know why, but he saw something in Jesus more valuable than him. Do you see something valuable in Jesus to make you turn from your ways? I don't know what way that is, but do you see something, heard something, saw something that would make you turn from your ways and go to Jesus? As a group of people, we have a tendency to stray to what looks good, but sometimes what's negative. That's just the human nature in us. But I ask you this question. If you hung out with Jesus every day, what you think you can get from him? Think about that question. We had all kind of, excuse me, guys, I got this slight cough. We hang with all kind of people. But why? The goal is Jesus. The goal is heaven. The goal is not to round up with groups of people. Not unless it's for the Lord. You look at the disciples. I wonder what made them to say, we got to figure this guy out. They argue among themselves. They doubt it at times. They argue. You know, just a big old mess. But Jesus had the patience to deal with them.
How good is your patience to deal with 12 knuckleheads? That's a good question. But Jesus had an outcome. The disciples, before the resurrection, had a different attitude. They were scared. They even questioned Jesus. And Jesus asked, how long you guys been around me? Y'all still got questions? They're just people, you know? And they're walking with the Lord. You know, we get to read about it. We get to walk through them by faith. But to see the miracles, all that he did, is amazing in and of itself. So I just wonder what the disciples thought. Who is this man? Where did he come from? You know, the scene on the boat when the waves got crazy, you know. And they said, who is this man? Even the waves listen to him. That's power. They didn't understand where that power came from. They didn't know that God could equip them with that type of power. But yet and still, it was from God. God was Jesus trying to let the disciples see a glimpse of God on this earth? Or did the disciples try to see who is Jesus about? These are questions that I think about. You know, I'm older. I am very conscious about the people I'm around. Are they a good influence or bad influence on my walk with the Lord? At this point in my life, I just want to minister to people to tell them about God's faithfulness. If I can get 12 people that would be ready for that mission, I would just love it. We can't get 12 people anywhere to come together for anything to serve the Lord. We'll do it individually, but not collectively. And so the body of Christ needs to take a look at why we around the people we're around. What are our goals about being around these people? And what outcome do we expect from these people? If they're not serving the Lord, then what are we doing? Are we wasting our time or wasting their time? These are things that need to be examined from the eye of the Christian. The world is coming too crazy just to be with anybody. You don't want them to bring you things that's on their mind. And they will. Everybody got their beliefs about Jesus and what he did, how he did it, why he did it, why the Father sent him. You know, but that conversation was done in heaven. Jesus knew what he had to do. He had a clear mission about having 12 people that he can send to 12 regions of the world to share the gospel. I don't know why he picked 12. Maybe he liked that number, but that's the number he picked. You know, and people think it was just males. I think Joanne was a part of it, helping the ministry. These are women who took out of their own. They had to be pretty wealthy, cost to have a second floor. In that time, you had to have money. But they had no problem been by Jesus. Mary Magdalene. These are women who supported Jesus. I think when Jesus picked the 12, he knew what he was doing. Half of them was fishermen. Right, so he knew one thing. Let me pick some guys that's going to make sure I'm going to eat. That's smart thinking. I need one with attitude. I toned it down. I need one with attitude that's ready to protect me in the group. You know, so he knew exactly why he picked those 12. For one, we know he's not going to starve. He's going to eat. The Bible says that Luke was part physician. So if Jesus ever got sick, he didn't have to worry about running to a doctor. He had one right there, you know. You know what was interesting in reading about the disciples? Jesus picked all of them but one. Did you know that? All of them but one. And the one that he didn't pick is the one who betrayed him. People think that Jesus picked all of them. Nope. He didn't pick Judas. Nathan did. And he tried to vouch for him. But Judas had a problem in the past anyway. And that's why it was so easy for him to betray Jesus. So 30 pieces of silver. Once he found out the real deal, did you know he tried to bring the money back? No, we don't want the money. We got what we want. This is a bargain for 30 pieces of silver. You give us the Lord. And as a result of that, he ended up hanging himself. Could you imagine being the one who sold Jesus? And what made them go to Judas anyway? Judas wasn't in the group like the other ones. The other ones fought, complained, argued, but I guarantee you they wouldn't give him up for 30 pieces of silver. I don't know how much 30 pieces of silver that's equivalent to our money today. Could you imagine that? That someone said, I'm going to get Pastor O up. Why? For $3. That's all he worth. What? No, we need Pastor O. Don't kill him. You know, we don't need no money. We need his knowledge. That's what we need. And see, they weren't thinking like that. Jews weren't thinking about what the Lord was teaching and doing and performing miracles. How about you know, Pastor O, I'm not giving you up for $3. You're too valuable for us to even consider that thought in our head. But if you don't love the Lord, and if you don't love his teaching, and if you don't love his people, you have a tendency to be tempted by 30 pieces of silver. Pastor, we love you. We appreciate you. We appreciate your wife. But we're not giving you up for 30 pieces of silver. Matter of fact, we ain't giving you up at all. And that's good to know. Those are the type of people I want to be around. I want to be around people that say, nah, John Mack is valuable. In some way, he's valuable to the Lord and to us. And that is what we're holding on to. That's powerful. Powerful. I don't want anything to happen to any of our brothers and sisters in Christ, because it's that their commitment in their heart is just like mine, to take out in the unique styles and ways and use it for the Lord. We all got different talents and ways and all that, but if the goal is Jesus, that's all right with me. I can handle that any day. So I want to just say, let us be conscious of the people that we're around on a day-to-day basis. And ask yourself, when you're around your group that you think that your group, ask yourself, which one of them would sell you up the river for 30 pieces of silver? You ain't even Jesus. So you may go for 2 cents. You never know, you know. But God put us out here to bring the body together to serve him. Whether you're hanging with 12 people, 24 people, 44 people, out of all those individuals you're hanging with, which ones are truly committed to the Lord? Which ones will say to themselves, no, he must stay on earth, we need him, he's too valuable? Who would say that on your behalf for Jesus? Jesus took 12 knuckleheads and brought them together. And after he died and rose again, then they got real bold. They didn't care because their eyes was able to see that everything the Lord told them came to pass. Now they didn't care if they died. They didn't care less. Then they realized who they was walking with and think about some of the things that they said and did. Even at the Last Supper, you know, you had to question some of the people at the table. People have a tendency to think about themselves. Jesus had a tendency to think about other people. He didn't want nobody to burn. The Bible said it's God's desire that no man perish. I don't care if you don't like him. If it's God's desire, that should be our desire. So as you sit and ponder the 12 disciples and all their different attitudes and all their different ways and all the things that they saw, all the things that they heard ranking with Jesus, maybe it'll change your attitude about some things. I love the Lord because I know he loves us. He wants the best for us, and he wants the best for our kids. But it's our job to communicate this to our kids. Pray for them. Jesus will take a break from his disciples at times and go up in the hills and pray. He had to replenish himself. And so do we. You ever had some times where you don't really want to be around anybody? You just want to pray? Because you realize you're talking to the one who has answers. Might as well pray. Can't nobody else give you the answers? They give you some insight into what you're looking for. Jesus can give you the answer. So you need to take that one-on-one time and get close to him. It is a privilege to do that. So I just want you to be conscious of the individuals in your circle. I want you to be conscious of what they stand for. And I want you to be committed to the Lord. And just remember, out of all the disciples, they all had their ways. But one of them was intent on making 30 pieces of silver. You know, you think about that, that's kind of hard. Then, like I asked you earlier, I wouldn't sell Pastor O for 3 cents. I'll drop the value, Pastor O, on you. 3 cents, $30, whatever them 30 pieces becomes in our money, you ain't worth giving up. You're too valuable, just like the Lord see you. He gave you running for Christ years ago. Look how it's flourished. God needs you here. You don't have to preach every sermon. That's you training us to do that. That's all the Bible studies you didn't have, all the meetings you had. You know, it's your job to equip the saints. That's what God placed you here. So how can we get rid of such a teacher to make the word of God so simple? That's what I like about how you teach. You make it simple. If we don't understand, you take the time to make us understand. And I look at all the teachers that have grown over the years that are running for Christ. That's a testament to your commitment to advancing the gospel. I appreciate you. I want to let you know. And I hope when we look at our spiritual leaders, that our heart would be to pray for them, not sell them. There's a lot of them selling themselves out here, right? That don't mean they're serving the Lord. They're serving themselves. So I want to plant that in your mind about the 12 disciples and their attitude and all that they went through. Jesus loved them, and he stuck with them. So it's going to be sometimes you're going to have some struggles dealing with some people. God know that, but he gave you what you need to deal with these individuals. You know, sure, you're not Jesus, but you have some of the qualities of Jesus. He taught you enough where you could teach other people. So I thank you. Even when I look at my situation, I just thank God, because it could be always be worse. But God has put the right people around me at the right time to say the right things. And I'm thankful for that. Well, with that, just remember, you're 12. What 12 that God has put in your circle to teach, to endure. Think about that. Jesus didn't have a perfect 12, but he had 12. And for some reason, they didn't run off. They stayed with him. They want to learn more. So I thank you for the 12 disciples. I thank you what they meant to Jesus. And I thank you for the example that we need to reevaluate those individuals in that circle. You know, because everybody will say, I love you, probably don't love you. Everybody who say, I need you, probably don't need you. So we just need to be mindful of the body of Christ, that we'll be there for one another in thought and prayer. And especially in this day and this time where the world is growing so dark, we need some brightness in there. So I thank you for an opportunity on this day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and this time right now. We pray for those that have war in their countries. But you said it would be like this, so we should not be surprised at all. Father, we pray for our kids getting a hold of these guns. We pray for the parents. They need to be more cautious in their own homes. We pray for families, Father. Families need each other. Sometimes they don't realize they need each other until they need each other. That's funny. But we thank you. Thank you for waking us today, Father. Thank you for opportunity to hear a slice of your word. Father, we pray that it pierce the heart of your people and drive your people closer to you. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Minister McFall, for that awesome word. You know, influence is everything. You know, yes, Jesus had the 12 disciples that he handpicked, all with the exception of Judas, and that's because they all served a purpose. You know, so for our youth, it's very important that they pay attention to those who are influencing them and also those who they are an influence to. You know, the disciples had Jesus and they walked with him in the flesh for 3 years, getting taught directly from him. And even though he's not here with us now in the flesh, he has left his Holy Spirit for each and every one of us who believe in him to continue to have his influence with us at all times to walk this life. So between the Word and the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us and showing us and telling us and providing us with discernment and all of these other things that the Holy Spirit does, we still have the influence of the Lord here within each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ. So that was an awesome message for the young people. You know, grown folks too need to learn it, but today specifically because, you know, people are so easily influenced by social media and what they see in the world and what, you know, things are being said and shown, and it's like nobody has anything to compare it to. But if we don't teach our children to use the Word as a standalone, to use Jesus as the example of how we're to live this life, we have to separate ourselves from the world because we're in it. We're not from it. Amen. So influence is very important, and we need to teach our children that the Word of the Lord is what we use to determine how we live our life, not anything else. So that was an amazing word. Thank you so much. And I also wanted to speak to the song that Pastor played before the Word came on. You know, it's one of my favorite songs. I love that I can listen to it a million times. It's such a good song. I See the Lord. So that is from Isaiah. That's Isaiah chapter 6. And I'm just going to read it for you. And so you're going to know that the lyrics that you heard correspond to the Word of God. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 6, starting at verse 1, says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe standing above him, each having 6 wings, with 2 each covered his face, and with 2 each covered his feet, and with 2 each flew, and one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, Woe to me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and atonement is made for your sins. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. Amen. Amen. That was Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We know that Pastor does not play any music on here that does not directly correspond with the Word of God. And so that was just a perfect song to play. And it directly ties into the Word, Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. So y'all know what day it is. It's Saturday. If y'all hearing me, you know what time it is because it's time for some announcements. Amen. So tomorrow, Sunday, February 27th, we will hold our in-person worship service. Our service begins at 10 a.m. with our amazing praise team leading us in song and worship. And we will be blessed. This is so exciting, y'all. We will be blessed to hear the first preaching message of Sarah Tate McClendon. If I had some fireworks over here when I burned down the house, I would set some fireworks off right now. I am so, so, so excited. So, of course, you are all welcome to join us. Please join us. And all that we ask, if you do join us, is that you wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. We will provide you with one at no cost. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website. rfcm.org, and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. If y'all ain't been to church all year, tomorrow is a great day to come to Running for Christ Ministries, amen, at 10 a.m., okay? Sarah Tate McClendon, first message, I can't wait. I got so excited, y'all. Amen. So just make sure to come on out and visit with us. And if not, it's okay. We're not upset. We're not mad. We totally get it. You can listen again at 1 p.m. At Run for Christ Ministries website, rfcm.org, by clicking on Recorded Sunday Service. Amen. Amen. So every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Please visit our Christian Resources page at rfcm.org for more info on calling in or logging in to participate or listen to her show. Also, don't forget Bible teacher training. There we go. Bible teacher training class is held on Mondays at 7 p.m. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. Also, don't forget every Wednesday at 6 p.m. we hold our Bible reading class. This girl here, yours truly, will be concluding her five-week, 25-chapter session in the book of Psalms. We will be going over chapters 96 to 100. The questions are available online. They've also been emailed. Go to our church website, rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes. Tomorrow, if you're in person in service, you know, at the back table where all the good stuff happens, they will be back there on the table for you to take so that you're able to participate in class. I expect to hear people and a lot of people. Amen. Amen. Every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies Bible class from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. For more info, go to rfcm.org, click on Christian Resources, amen, and Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher for the ladies Bible class every Saturday beginning at 11:30 a.m., amen. Excuse me, if you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, please go to rfcm.org and click on tithes and offerings. If you want to give to the preacher that preached today, which was Pastor John McFall, please remember to notate the name of the pastor, again, Pastor John McFall, when you give, excuse me, your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. And the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and them. Amen. We just want to continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. We want to send up special prayers for Mother Irma Miller, who is in Wyandotte Hospital. Also, Tyrone Hamilton. Continue to pray for all of our mothers on the move, as we call them at Run for Christ Ministries, because we love them so much. Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for all the bereaved families everywhere. Make sure to pray for our world and our leaders. I'm not a political person. I never have been. When I see politics and hear stuff and read stuff, I never really fully know what's going on. I know there's a situation with Russia and Ukraine. I don't even know the ins and outs of all of it, and I guess I really don't have to. You don't have to be a political person to pray. You know that something is wrong. We know there's a problem. There are innocent people, innocent families, innocent children being displaced, you know, losing their homes and losing their lives. So we just need to pray. You don't need to fully know a situation to be able to pray for a situation. That's basically what I'm saying. Amen. So we need to remember to pray. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 reads, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And we know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. Yeah, we like that stuff. That stuff is great. We know that a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. So take time out to be some sunshine to someone in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, to keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen. Amen. So birthdays. It's the last Saturday of the month of February. This time is just ticking on. So happy, happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners all over the world who's celebrating in this great month of February, Black History Month. Y'all know how we do for those who we love and adore at Run for Christ Ministries. We had two birthdays that I knew of this month. Some people be having birthdays and don't tell me because they don't want me to call their name. But that's okay. Jesus still knows. Amen. So happy, happy birthday to our beautiful mother, Marilyn, who celebrated on February the 7th. And to our doctor, Dr. Nico, who celebrate on the 21st. Happy, happy birthday. Much love, hugs, and kisses to you all. Amen. Amen. So your devotion for today, specifically for our youth, the Holy Spirit, no, he be doing his job. You want to talk about somebody who was always on his job? The Holy Spirit is always on his job because we don't ever get together before to say, hey, you preach this, you read that. Like, we're all in our separate places doing our own separate things, but yet the Holy Spirit always manages to bring everything together. So your devotion for today is a prayer to remember where our help comes from. Amen. And this is by Maggie Meadows Cooper. I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And this is Psalm 121, verse 1. Amen. Over the years, there have been many people and places that we turn to when we need help. Facebook friends, Dear Abby, we know that's back in the day, Google, and even our moms. But so often, in spite of good intentions, their advice leaves us longing for more. Many times the advice hurts more than helps, and sometimes they are simply dead wrong. So why do we choose them? Convenience, proximity, or maybe a secret hope that they will tell us what we want to hear? All possible reasons. But when Mary was faced with a problem and needed help in John chapter 2, verse 3, she turned to the only one who could be her helper that day, the only one who is the helper that we all need, and that helper is Jesus. Mary, Jesus, and the disciples were attending a wedding in Cana, and the host ran out of wine. According to their culture at that time in history, they risked great humiliation. Mary called Jesus for help and told us to, quote, do whatever he tells you. So they did. And Jesus performed his first public miracle, turning water into wine. If only our problems were that simple to solve, right? But just maybe they are. The truth is that their problem was resolved because of two simple choices, the same choices we all have to make. So first, who will we ask for help? I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And again, that's Psalm 121, verse 1. Simon Peter replied, Lord, to whom would we go? You have the words that give eternal life. And that's John chapter 6, verse 68. Our problems do not always have simple solutions, but the decision of who to ask for help should be the simplest of all. David, Peter, and many others knew who to go to. It didn't mean that they didn't fear or fret or doubt at times, but they made a choice to trust, to hope, to turn their hearts and minds and souls and spirits to the one who is able to do so much more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And sometimes the help that the Lord offers may come in the form of godly counsel from other believers or counselors. It may mean waiting and doing nothing, but seek his will and wisdom and guidance first, and the rest will fall into place. And second, will we do whatever Jesus tells us to do? If you love me, obey my commandments. That's John chapter 14, verse 15. I sure wish this was easier to carry out. I know from experience that my heart wants to obey. I want to speak and act and love like Jesus would have me do. But carrying those things out with my earthly flesh that wants what I want when I want it, that gets offended and hurt and embarrassed, that, truth be told, wants to rebel many times because of my feelings and judgments, is much easier said than done. And I find myself half obeying many times. I may feel his nudge to forgive and actively serve the person who hurt me. So I agree to forgive, but don't carry out that action of love and service. The quote, whatever he tells me may seem unreasonable at times, too odd or unjust, and I don't know what people will think. So I choose to blend in with the crowd rather than risk looking foolish. The quote, whatever he tells you, those servants risk looking foolish that day as they fill jars used to cleanse others with water, expecting it to somehow become wine. Noah, Moses, Esther, John the Baptist, and so many others risked looking foolish because they agreed to do what the Lord told them to do. His directions take faith. They take extreme courage and a longing to please God rather than man. And in this world, that is so very hard, but the choice is ours to make. So pray. Pray hard and seek the Lord and his will above all else. Avoid the temptation to seek earthly wisdom first, then wait and see how the Lord will help you when you choose to seek his approval above all else. And so we say this prayer together. Dear Jesus, forgive me for running to the people and things of this world for help before coming to you. Thank you for being my helper and loving me in spite of my shortcomings. Help me remember who you are and where my help comes from. Give me strength, courage, and a boldness to seek you and your approval above all else. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Excuse me, Crystal, for that partial interruption. I'm over here clicking buttons and ain't even looking what I'm saying.
I figured
clicking.
That. I was going to keep talking anyway.
Right. Okay, I see Pastor O, Pastor Owen.
That's all right. He's doing stuff. Yeah, that's all right.
Oh, Jesus, I'm
no
always
worries.
Just click, clicking. She was like, you know you just clicked her off, right?
Why did
you tell me after
second.
I did it? I love to blame him. He the savior, though, right? Just blame him, right?
That's right.
Why you
just
let me do
him
that?
For everything. It's all right.
Ooh, Crystal, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Don't know what
You're
I'd welcome. Do without you. Amen.
You no,
know,
we
every
don't know.
One of
I wouldn't
us.
Sell you for 3 pennies. We need you. I'm supposed to pass it out. I wouldn't sell you for 3 pennies, 2 pennies. I'm not giving y'all away for nothing. So
y'all better
me,
do
I
like Deacon Tate say. Deacon Tate talking about not 5 million, now, Pastor. I might have to let you go.
Let you go.
I'm like,
yeah.
As long as you shared
right
with me.
Yeah, you put the right number on it for him. You gone.
Right. While I'm hanging on the cross, he be down there talking about, here your cut, Pastor. I'm going to hold it for
that's
you.
Right. Yeah, man. Ain't that the truth?
Amen. God
Lord,
bless you,
amen.
Crystal.
You
tell
too.
Me and we say what's up.
I sure will. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody this morning. You know, of course, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. She gets all the folks together with my girl, Loretta Welch, who taught that excellent Sunday school lesson. Go back and listen to that over and over and over until you learn that God want to use you to help some people. Amen. And you need to be God's answer man and woman, right? Yes, indeed. Amen. And, yeah, it was Pastor Barlow. Yes, he's definitely a Black History historical figure, and the Lord did send me to him and said he forbid me to talk to anybody else, and that's not a slam against any other pastor. It's just God didn't want Running for Christ Ministries to end up like some other church. He wanted to do something else. He wanted it to be teaching, learning, doing. That's why we don't have no afternoon programs, none of that stuff. We don't have a whole bunch of auxiliaries and ministries you can join and say, I serve at my church. No, you're going to serve Jesus when you leave church. That's Running for Christ Ministries is set up for you to serve Jesus when you leave church. You only come to church to hear a word from the Lord, to sing songs together, to pray together, to commiserate together, you know, fellowship together as they did in the early church. And then when you go down into the world, back to the world you come from, and all of us come from a different one, right? We're going somewhere different. We start in our home. And then we take it to our family, then we take it back to church, and then we take it to the community. We take it to the civic out in the world where we live. So Running for Christ Ministries is not set up for you to just do church at church. Running for Christ Ministries is set up for you to do church when you leave church. Amen. Amen. So I thank Pastor John Mack for that sermon. You know, that's some awesome stuff right there. Walking with Jesus. A man gave me a book a long time ago, Walking with Jesus and the Details of Life. And I asked that question a lot. If you had to walk with Jesus daily, visibly with him right there, what would your life be like? Would you cuss like you cuss? Would you talk about people like you talk about people? Would you say, Jesus, listen, let me tell you about someone. Would you do that? Amen. Think about that. And here's the reality. We are walking with him. He lives inside of us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So he hears us talking about people. Amen. He hears us cussing. He hears and he sees it all. Just because we're not close enough to him to know that, he's close of us to us to know that he lives inside of us. So when we get to thinking it, because Jesus told us it's not what you do from the outside in that mess you up. It's them thoughts from the inside that happen on the outside. That's what messes you up. And so he on the inside, in your heart. He see that nastiness as soon as it starts coming up, as soon as it rises up. And if, are we going to stop it? Or are we going to act it out right in front of him? Lord, have mercy. Lord, say, come close to me, I'll come close to you. So we thank God for Pastor Mack. Want to thank God for Alex. Amen. Alexandria did an excellent job, scripture and prayer. Thank God for that. Pastor Terrence Tate taking it to the altar. Amen. And we get a chance to go there with him. We get to can't look. One of the things the Lord wants us to learn how to do is to cast our care on him for real, for real. Not just say the words, but really do that. Look, if you get up from your prayer that you just prayed to God about a thing you can't deal with, you don't see no way out, and you know you made your request known unto him, then you need to get up and know that the Lord heard you, and you go ahead on about your business because he got that business, because there ain't nothing you can do. Now, if it's something you can do, do it. But if it ain't nothing you can do, leave that thing with Jesus. Amen. So we thank Pastor Terrence Tate for altar call. And, of course, again, Pastor John McFall for that message, Walk with Jesus Daily. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Now, some folks, I used to tell the name of the songs, you know, and I can't play music on here unless I hear every single word in the song, and it has to match up with scripture in context. That's how these songs end up here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, other than that, they get tossed. They either come up as inspirational, doctrinal, or some other way Jesus like them, and that's how they end up here. I don't play music that's not doctrinally correct. You'll never hear me play this. Lord, it was a good song, a favorite song of people, What Are My Steps in Your Word? Well, our steps, the steps of a righteous, the Bible literally says the steps of a righteous man are ordered in his word. So I can't ask God to do that. I have to read his word and then change the way I'm walking accordingly. Amen. So even though the songs are nice and they ain't horrible, I don't play positive songs on here that take Jesus all the way out. You can't even find it. But there are a lot of songs that don't mention his name, like the book of Esther, and he's all over it. And you have to learn to decipher between it. And I ain't smart enough to do that, so the Holy Ghost do it. Amen. But anyway, we played Anita Wilson, number one, You Love Me. We played Joshua Rogers, that was number two, Pour Your Oil on Me. That's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be anointed every day. You got anointed when you receive the Holy Spirit. You have the power of God in you. That's what anointing is, the power of God. What we need is what the disciples prayed for in Acts chapter 4. Toward the end of that chapter, they said, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. We know they got saved on the day of Pentecost and filled with the Spirit. What are they talking about, fill me up again? Yes, for this new work. Amen. And every day we need to pray for a fresh filling, so we can do the new work. And then we prayed the group fire, Jesus, he will fix it, simply entitled, Fix It. Amen, group fire. And then there was Dawkins and Dawkins. Amen, come by here. Amen. Yeah, Jesus loved that kind of music. And, of course, Lecrae, Now, that's from the compilation CD. That's the 116 click. If you go looking for that, look up Lecrae and try to find that song, you won't find it. It's under the compilation CD, and that's the 116 click. Romans 116, not ashamed of the gospel. That's the, amen, that's the click to be in. Amen. And so that was Lecrae. And then this song I'm going to close with is also by Lecrae. And it is entitled After the Music. And what Romans talks about is us being transformed, changing our mind in the way we think. What James talk about is us not just hearing the word of God, but doing the word of God. Not being a hearer only. Amen. But even after the music stops, after we leave the church house, after the church service is over, we still live with Jesus. So Lecrae going to close us out with After the Music, and he going to pose a question to us. After the music stops, what do we do?
Yeah. I got a question. After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Are we just writing songs? Are we concerned? Uniting the people?
Back in the day, I was a lunchline rapper. After that, I guess I was a punchline rapper. Then I got saved, and sometime after, your boy came back as a frontline rapper. And when I say the front line, that's not a front line. I'm out here preaching Christ on the front lines. And no, it ain't about rocking stages, cause some of my engagements are out on the pavement. Yeah, I'm out to take the Bible, create disciples who make disciples, disciple cycles. That's why I want the beat to knock, so after the music stops, you can meet the rock. I pray that you would know him well. This is like show and tell. It's more than a show, I'm showing you Emmanuel. So yeah, I'm hoping that you're liking the flow, but it's only so you can know the God I'm writing it for. Let's go. After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops, after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is King, or will you just like the words we sing after the music stops?
I recorded a couple songs, some fast, some slow, so the listeners would know the importance of the show. The importance of the show's not to excite these folks, but make God's truth relevant, ignite these folks. Discipleship is our call, but we make disciples. This is not a suggestion, create disciples. The teaching is a process, it's not overnight, and it's not a stage and a mic. No, it's life on life. Christ walked with 12, ate with 12, talked to 12, ate to 12, invested in them well. You can say that he made the 12, who made many more, who made plenty more. Now it's on you and me if there's any more. One, teach two, teach three, teach four, teach five, teach six, teach seven, teach more. This is what we've been commissioned. It's the reason why I write, so that you can hear the truth, not so you can say I'm tight. Whoa. After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops, after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is King, or will you just like the words we sing after the music stops?
We write this for the righteous, speaker was righteous, and then we might check for a culture who likes the hypeness. Some say we keep it crunk, some say we hype, man. We just wanna pump the resurrection of the Christ, man. We in the burbs and the hoods that's hostile. We share a common view like synoptic gospels. And you know we keep a couple young dudes around us and teach them the same truths God used to ground us. This is a lifestyle, so when the mic's down, I pray people follow Christ when they turn the lights down. I pray that everybody playing the song will be challenged by everything I had to say in the song. I don't do this for the money, I don't do this for fame, I don't do this so the industry can know my name. I do this in hopes to glorify Yeshua the King. If you're feeling me, you know you should be doing the same. Let's go. After the show, after the set, after the music stops, what's next? Would every fellowship, prayer, disciples, will you open your Bible? After the music stops,
after it's over, after it ends, after the music stops, what then? Will you understand that Christ is king, or will you just like the words